Hello, once again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. We have one of the region's finest chefs in the studio with us today. He'll answer your questions about food and fine dining and cooking local. Chef Andrew Sheff is here. Professional cooking was a second career for Chef Chase. He got his professional start in marketing in New York, and we'll find out about how that transition happened. He felt the calling for the kitchen, found a gig cooking at a German surf resort on the coast of Panama. That was followed by a study at the Culinary Institute of America and a series of gigs all over the world, from a bakery in Ireland to a rural organic farm in Bavaria. But ultimately, he returned to the Hudson Valley, where he and his wife and business partner launched the Black Forest Flammkuchen food truck out of Poughkeepsie. One thing led to another, and he settled in Kinderhook, where he opened the Flammerie just over a year ago. Let's get to know Chef Chase. Give us a call. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org, or tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, or Facebook, if you like, facebook.com/WAMCRadio. There should be a Vox Pop post there. But again, the number to call here is 800-348-2551. Chef Andrew Chase, welcome to the show.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Boy, nice to have you here.
It's great to be here.
So, all right, let's first delve into how you got to this point. And I don't mean Studio A. So you started out in marketing. What did you do?
I was a buyer for customer marketing, in-store marketing, a buyer negotiator, and worked with clients like Mars and Dr. Pepper and things like that.
Okay, so you're doing that. When and how did the little bell go off in your head? You just said, I got to get out of this. I got to do what I want to do.
Well, I mean, part of it was I was spending, you know, every free evening cooking and, you know, tearing through recipe books. And I really decided that I wanted to travel. So I ended up quitting my job, went to Central America, Costa Rica, and then to Panama, and found a job as a cook through Craigslist Panama, actually.
That's amazing. It's a bit of a gamble to give up a career like that and just go and do what you want to do.
It was. I mean, I was lucky to have a really great boss who kind of gave me that security blanket that if, you know, if I had to, I could have come back. So that was really nice for me. I was able to kind of put everything on the line and go.
Did you know when you were little that you liked to cook?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So when did that start?
I had to have been about 6 years old when I started making tacos for my family on Sunday night dinners and things like that.
That's pretty good. I wish my kids would start cooking. Save us a little work. Well, that's fantastic. So flash forward to Panama and tell us about that job.
I mean, we were about 2 hours from the nearest grocery store, so it was very isolated, about 6 to 8 hours by bus from Panama City. And it was a dive and surf resort, and basically I was the only cook there, and you had to really figure out how to use local produce, use local foods as much as possible, and you know things were very scarce, and managing food costs and things like that. It was trial by fire.
And you were the only one. I mean, yeah. You're the only cook, and you were the only person qualified for the job at a German surf resort in
exactly.
Panama. What
yeah.
a bizarre combination.
It was quite bizarre. Yeah.
So that's how you sort of got into the German angle to your cooking.
Yeah, I mean, previously I had minored in German studies in college and had studied in Munich in 2006 during the World Cup, which was a great experience. So I could speak a bit of German already, so that helped a lot, and we just went from there.
Well, that's fantastic. Our number to call here is 800-348-2551, and of course, Chef Chase has brought some food. Before we get to the calls, tell us what you have brought with you today.
All right. Well, I brought a couple of our signature flatbreads, Flammkuchen, the traditional with bacon, onions, and Gruyere, and then the puerco, which is with, it's kind of our own creation, spurred from our experiences in Oaxaca. So it's got a chipotle base, guajillo braised pork shoulder, and caramelized onions.
I mean, I don't even have to eat that to know that I love that. And that's
what's
a regular at your restaurant?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and well, then, it's a bit of a drive, but we'll have to go down there.
I brought some wood-fired spätzle, three different varieties, as well as one of our petit plats this week, which is a house-made bratwurst.
Nice.
And an entree of maltaschen, which is similar to a ravioli.
So, spätzles, or spätzles, however you say it, they're boiled, right?
Yeah, it's basically...
How would they be wood-fired?
So, basically, we it's like a dumpling, so it goes into boiling water, we strain it out, and then we sauté it in the wood-fired oven with butter, brown butter, so it puffs up really nicely, gets a little crispy, and then we add our cheese and our garnishes
cheese,
to it.
Cheese, huh?
Yeah.
When my grandmother made them, it was only... butter, fried butter in them?
There's a couple different ways to do it. Generally, it's either plain with just butter or in a basic cheese sauce.
Oh, gosh. And you brought that?
Yes, I did.
All right, check, please. Let's go to the line and we'll start eating. Let's go to Carolyn in Poughkeepsie. Hi, you're on.
Hi. I'm going to feel a little stupid. Stroganoff is or is not a German dish?
To my knowledge, it is not. It's Russian.
Russian, okay. Then I'm going to ask you about red cabbage. I grew up, my mom made cooked red cabbage with little bacon fat, and it was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I add little slices of apples, but what I'd like to know is what you consider one of the best recipes for cooked red cabbage.
The way I like to run it is as Blaukraut, which is basically the way you just described it, with apples, maybe a little bit of orange zest, red wine vinegar, and chicken stock, and maybe some bay leaves and thyme in there for some aromatics.
Orange zest, red wine vinegar?
Yes, exactly, and chicken stock.
And what was the other thing you said?
It was chicken stock and then salt, pepper, and you basically sauté the red cabbage first, add your vinegar and your stock and your orange zest and your apple, and let it cook down until it tastes where it should be.
So you're not adding anything sweet to it?
There's enough sweetness coming from the apples, exactly.
Okay. Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Carolyn, thanks for getting us started today. We're joined by Chef Andrew Chase of the Flammarie in Kinderhook, New York. Number to call is 800-348-2551. Over to Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
Hello. Chef, I heard a promo for the program, and it was about wood firing. And as a reconstructor, I've built a number of bake ovens, and I have one in my own home, and we've done pizzas in it for years. And I judge the temperature of the oven by watching the brick turn from black into red, because, Fahrenheit 451, when it gets to be above 450 degrees, the carbon burns off, and then you have approximately what your temperature is, and then I burn it for another half an hour. So each time we make the pizzas up ahead of time, I can cook four at a time, and I have to rake all the coals and ashes out of the oven and put them in the fireplace. Usually that's going too. And then we can do three sets of four. And, of course, the cooling down time of the oven is very fast. So my first set comes out like in maybe 3 minutes. Second set is maybe 5 minutes. And the last set might be 15 or 20. And, of course, the consistency is different. What would you suggest? As a way of maybe, I can't put it right on the brick directly. I have to put it on in a pan because the brick I can't get clean enough. I was thinking boiling water put in or water heated up, steam in there, or would that be?
Putting a pot of water in the oven is a really great solution if your tiles are too hot. That kind of brings the temperature back down so that your crust doesn't burn as soon as it hits the tile. What I would do is really, I think it's probably about $40 or $50 to invest in an infrared thermometer, and then you can really see where the hot spots are and try and rotate as much as possible so that you're allowing those tiles to recover and heat back up, and then you should be able to get a more consistent product.
Well it seems like the fall-off time in the heat of the oven is very fast. Now, that might be the construction of the oven.
How thick would you say your oven is?
Well, it's 30 inches in diameter inside, and it's two layers of brick thick, and it's got some contact with the main fireplace, so that may be part of the problem.
Right. It sounds like you might be losing a bit of heat there.
Yeah. We've been doing pizzas now for 20 years for ourselves and for parties, and I'm building a bake oven now as we speak on the end of my property. It's always fascinated that the women, when you ask them at the, say, Sturbridge or something, they say, oh, you put your hand in there, and then when the hair burns off.
Oh, my heavens. No, don't try that at home. No.
And so I said, there's got to be a better way without measuring it directly. And I said, well, carbon burns at 450, and when the bricks turn black, it's covered with carbon. When it burns off, it's got to be above 450.
Right.
Genius.
Yeah. So that's how I was engaging it.
It's clever.
Hey, Mark, thanks for the call. We appreciate
it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
800-348-2551 is the number. We're joined today by Chef Andrew Chase of the Flammarie in Kinderhook. And so the brick ovens. You see a lot of restaurants. We have brick ovens. Scientifically speaking, what's the difference between an oven that hits a certain temperature and a brick oven that hits the same temperature?
I mean, I... I think it would be difficult to hit the same temperature if it wasn't a wood-fired oven.
Really?
Like the temperatures that we are cooking with are extremely high. Air temperatures around, you know, 1,200 to 1,500 degrees. And tile temperatures, we try and maintain around 800 degrees. So even a deck oven is probably going to be around, you know, 600, 650.
Well, what's the advantage? I mean, maybe you cook more quickly, but how does that help the taste?
I think the caramelizing of the flavors, it happens very faster. And you really get a beautiful crust on everything you're cooking. So we work a lot with cast iron pans in the wood-fired oven at the restaurant, where you can do things like duck breast and steaks and get a really beautiful sear in a really short amount of time.
1,000 degrees, though, your insurance bills must be insane.
it's a little high.
Well, the crust, though, on this. Now, this is the...
That's the traditional Flammkuchen.
Mm. And the crust is perfect. We'll have to take a break here and eat something. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. It's Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. We're here with Chef Andrew Chase, and we'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoors or out, at the Curtis House with 3 rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts. A family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, SpiritHAUS.com. And Current Compliance Services Incorporated, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. National compliance and regulatory consultants for life insurance carriers and their distribution partners. CurrentCompliance.com.
Food Friday on WAMC Vox Pop. Last one before the big fun drive, which starts Monday morning at 6 a.m. And by the way, if you have already contributed to the lockbox, a big thank you. We hit the $500,000 plateau, got the $25,000 from the Spitzer Foundation. But there's no reason to stop now. Remember, hey, listen, if we go in to the fun drive on Monday morning at $700,000, that's a short fun drive. So if you want to keep the fun drive short, you feed that lockbox this weekend, and I guarantee you it will be a quick one. Already we're in good shape. We're over halfway there. But either way, Alan will be in the big chair on Monday morning at 6. I'll be right across from him, and our fun drive kicks off. Hope you join us. It is Vox Pop. It is Food Friday. Chef Andrew Chase is here from the Flammerie in Kinderhook, and what a plate of... Well, it's not exactly German. It's some German food.
German-inspired.
The spetzels are German food.
Yeah, exactly.
Food, but you have... You said you were sort of inspired by a region sort of on the border of France and Germany?
Exactly. Alsace-Lorraine, down through Bavaria, down through Austria, a little bit of Switzerland, and even northern Italy. So it's even more of an Alpine inspiration, I would say.
So the ravioli type thing that you have there, I have not tried yet. What is the name of that?
Maultaschen. Which literally means feed bag, like you would, you know, put on a horse. it's appetizing.
Yeah. What's in it?
So that is butternut squash, goat cheese, caramelized onions, and sage.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Back to the phones we go. 800-348-2551. Jim in Altamont. Jim, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Chef. Congratulations on the new restaurant. I hope everything's going well for you. I got a question. My grandmother came from a small town outside of Heidelberg. And she made a dish called Apfelkuchen. Every Sunday after church, we'd go out there, and we'd have Apfelkuchen. And it reminded me of, like, an apple pizza. And I've always tried to recreate it, and I haven't found the dough, the pastry, that she would use. Are you familiar with that dish?
I mean, there's a couple different variations, so I'm not sure exactly which one it might be. But I think you would be in... pretty good shape to use a very neutral dough similar to what we use for our Flammkuchen, which is basically a bread dough rolled very, very thin, and then basically lay your thinly sliced apples on top of that. Does that sound similar to how it would have been?
Yeah, because again, it was like an open face pie almost. So what dough, could I go to a store and get just a commercial pizza dough?
You could try that. That might actually be a really good place to start. Just make sure that when you're rolling it out with a rolling pin, instead of tossing it like you would a pizza dough, make sure you roll it really, really thin. So, you know, flour is your friend, and, you know, keep flipping it and rolling it and experimenting.
How long would you cook that?
Depending on the heat of your oven, if you had a pizza stone, that would be my recommendation in a really hot oven and probably be about 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes,
wow.
Something like that.
Okay.
I remember it was on a sheet tray.
Mm-hmm.
She always rolled it out onto a sheet tray. Everything was scratch, made from scratch.
Nice.
It just seemed more pastry-like than a bread dough.
Yeah, I mean,
you
it
know
could,
what I...
yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it could also be similar to a tart dough. Which is, you know, basically a pie dough. You have flour, butter, and a little bit of really cold ice water so that you get a flaky crust to it.
And then, obviously, I was young when she died, so, you know, it's just a memory of what you would want to recreate, but the apples were just treated almost like an apple pie apple.
Mm. Nice. That sounds delicious.
Sugar, cinnamon, mm-hmm. nutmeg. That sort of thing.
Jim, I tell you what, if you succeed, we'll have you on the show as well.
Chef, I hope everything goes well for you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim. We appreciate the call. Over to Lisa in Beacon. Hi, Lisa. You're on.
Hi. I love the restaurant. I have to say, my family and I went there over the summer just on a whim. We drove up from Beacon. We had a great experience, a great meal. My daughter loved the pierogies.
Oh.
Ah, the Schlitzkrapfen.
Really popular. but we first saw you on the food truck at one of the beer festivals in Poughkeepsie, and I see that the truck is on hibernation, but do you have plans to travel around the area for the spring and summer, and also can people rent you out for events?
Absolutely renting us for events. We are focusing a bit more on catering since we've opened the restaurant, but we will be at events every now and again.
Just too expensive now that you have a full-time restaurant to do that?
And staffing is one of the issues. You know, it's very difficult to find staff that are really comfortable working with a wood-fired oven and also can drive the 10,000-pound trailer.
You take a wood-fired oven in the trailer.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow.
So it's, you know, to trust someone to be able to drive it, which we had somebody, but we also need that person in the kitchen as well. So that's a bit of a challenge
for
us.
That's incredible. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Thank you, Lisa. 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Chef Andrew Chase of the Flammarie in Kinderhook. And before we were on the air, we were in the green room chatting, and you talked about cooking local. And so many chefs are into that. And I can tell that it's one of the things that you care about. But at this time of year, it's got to be a trick.
It is a challenge. And it's just the availability is so much less that you have to be flexible and you have to think ahead. So, you know, for us, that's buying produce kind of at peak of the season and freezing it, vacuum sealing it, freezing it so that we can pull it out right now when, you know, pretty much all that's available is root vegetables.
Well, some things you just can't freeze, though, right? Some produce?
I mean, I wouldn't freeze things like lettuce, greens, and things like that, of course. But something like broccoli and cauliflower and green beans are great frozen and then used for soups or purees or things like that come this, you know, slim time of year.
Do you lose some of the taste advantage of buying local when you have it frozen, when you can go to your grocer's freezer and get it frozen as well?
A little bit, but I think it's more of a textural issue. That's why I recommend it mostly for things like purees and soups, where the texture isn't as important, but you get that flavor that is you know, can be delicious, especially if it's organic and local.
Do you make your own bratwurst, and do you source locally the meat for that?
Yes, we do.
It's delicious.
Thank you.
I gotta say.
Thank you.
And so, and what's the selection process like for that?
Well, we work with a couple different farms, and close to us in Kinderhook is Lover's Leap, which we work with closely. And also we work with Hudson Valley Harvest, which sources from, you know, 40-plus different farms all over Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
Which for us, if we're making something, you know, buying in quantity, it's a lot easier because they can source from several different farms to get you the product that you need. If we're running something like short ribs for catering where we need 200 portions, that's very difficult to do with a farm down the road, whereas working through a local distributor, that makes it possible.
And so if there's a situation with your local distributor where you say, well, you know, this isn't exactly what I'm looking for, isn't there the danger when you're dealing so personally with people that ruffled feathers will ensue?
Yeah, I mean, that for sure can happen, but it's a partnership, and we have to be respectful, and, you know, if they make a mistake, you know, they're always willing to fix that mistake with whatever they can do, and we have to be flexible and be willing to change things on the fly, and we have to, you know, have our front-of-house staff communicate to guests that we might not have a certain dish because such and such happened, but instead we have this other thing.
So the ravioli, I had a chance to try it while we were taking a couple of calls. What's in it again? A squash?
Yes, so that's butternut squash, caramelized onions, sage, and goat cheese.
I don't know if I've ever had anything quite like that. It's delicious.
Well, what we do is with butternut squash and a lot of our squash in general is we slow roast it at a very low temperature, so it kind of dehydrates it and caramelizes those sugars, concentrates the flavor, and it really pops, I think.
Now, how do you actually cook the ravioli itself? You fry this?
We blanch it first, so to cook the pasta, and then you basically cook it in a saute pan with brown butter.
Good. Let's go over to Vicky in Saratoga. Vicky, you're on.
Hi. I'm kind of piggybacking off the last caller or a couple callers ago about the tart.
Yeah.
And my husband's grandmother, she was born in Hungary, and she used to make, so he says, I never had it, but some sort of a yeast base with fruit topping, but there was a custard underneath. And I didn't know, and I, like the other caller, I searched and searched and searched and can't seem to find anything like that. I wasn't sure if you had a name that you could put to that.
I wish. It sounds delicious. I haven't heard of that. I mean, my only thought just from hearing it would be that the custard would be added after the bread was cooked, since it's a leavened dough.
Right.
Because otherwise you would have a separation of the eggs on the custard when it was baked together. That would be my guess, but I don't have a name for that, but it sounds quite nice.
Yeah, he said it was great, and like you said, a very thin dough. He has memories of his grandmother rolling out the dough over her kitchen table. It was that thin.
Wow.
And, you know, that piece of dough. Go ahead.
It could be something like similar to, you know, a lemon curd or a lemon tart, where you kind of have the custard already made, you roll out and bake the tart shell, and then you add the toppings to it afterwards.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Vicky. You know, it's funny, only a guess here, but it seems to me that there are so many dialects that are so diverse in Germany, it's tough to track things down on the internet. Example, my grandmother used to make these things she called Brotglas.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen recipes for them, but never ones like she made. They were about the size of a billiard ball. And they had bacon and obviously bread.
Uh-huh.
And there was a thin brown gravy that you had on them. And I've never seen I've looked. I can't find the recipe.
It's a dumpling, right? Like
yeah.
A bread dumpling?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, knudel would
oh,
be
so
the Bavarian version of that. But yeah, it's different names for different things in different places. Flammkuchen, for example, is called by 10 different names depending on the village within Alsace or within the Black Forest that you're in. You know, Flammkuchen, Flammkuchen. All different names.
It's always great to explore German food, and if your neighbor of yours or a relative of yours has an old relative that is German, you'll find a completely different name and word for so many different things. It's pretty incredible. Let's go to Sean in Kinderhook. Sean.
Hey, yeah, I was the guy was talking about that apple kuchen, I don't remember what it was, but. I know there's a Polish dish that's called apple cake, and it's like a shortbread that's got sour cream in it and cinnamon sugar, and it's, again, pressed into a pan, and then the apples are sliced thin and put on top of that. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm personally a big fan of using sour cream in desserts. And pretty much in every course, but dessert especially. And that's, I think, very unusual in this country to find is that usage of sour cream, because it bakes so well and can be sweetened to balance out that acidity. And I really like that in kind of German and Polish cuisines that there is so much of that use.
Yeah, we use sour cream in a pancake that we make, too, which is outstanding.
Nice, yeah. It gives a really nice texture, for sure.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. Our number to call here on a Vox Pop Food Friday is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Our guest today, Chef Andrew Chase of the Flammarie in Kinderhook, New York. You've opened about a year now?
Yeah, we opened November 2014.
So how have things changed since day one?
That's a good question. It's gotten smoother for sure. And you know, the hours are the same, but it's not.
You look a little tired. No offense. You look like you could use maybe a nap.
Well, we just came off back from our hiatus, so shouldn't be that tired quite yet. But it was a little bit rough to get open for service yesterday, and you know.
But how have you changed and fine-tuned the menu? I know the menu will change depending on the availability of local goods and things like mm-hmm. that. But in general, how has your vision changed?
So I basically starting in November, we moved towards a week-by-week menu that's fully printed and available on the website.
Yeah.
Prior to that, it wasn't quite as structured. We had one set menu that changed every 3-4 weeks, but there wasn't as much consistency to it. So we're trying to encourage our guests to go on our website and see what the menu is for the week where we actually lay out all of the entrees, and you don't just find out when you come to the restaurant.
Right, and then if no one shows up, you know that might not be one you want to repeat.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
A lot of sense. All right, 800-348-2551 is the number. Andrew Chase, the guest. Let's go to Christine in Mount Tremper. Christine, you're on.
Hi, guys. I wanted to ask the chef about a dish called Rouladen.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with that?
Yes, absolutely.
It's a German dish, yes?
Yes.
Well, my mom was Ukrainian, but my grandmother was from Germany, Oberkassel, and she used to pound out the beef and then put in pieces of raw onion and raw bacon.
Mm-hmm.
That the correct process?
Yeah, and I mean, depending on where you are in that region, there's obviously different variations to it. One that I like to do is to actually spread it with some Dijon mustard first, then add your onions, bacon, and a dill pickle, and then wrap that up and tie it and braise it.
Okay, we used to use toothpicks.
Okay, yeah, that's another good way to do it.
And just a good brown gravy with it, yes?
Exactly.
Oh, terrific.
Christine, that sounds delicious.
I know. It really is.
Are you good at making
that? Great hearing from you guys. Good show.
Hey, thanks a lot. And you come on over, Christine. You bring some of that with you next time. Marge in Garnet Lake. Marge, you're on.
Hi. I'm 73, and my German grandmother used to make Kuchen every weekend also. And her substitution when she didn't make it from scratch was always hot roll mix for the crust.
Oh, interesting.
So that was my only comment. But
nice.
Somebody
Thanks.
Can try it and see if it's what he's looking for.
Thanks, Marge.
You're welcome.
Have a good weekend. 1-800-348-2551. You see, now you've learned something very basic about Vox Pop. Very early on, one caller will bring up a topic that a lot of callers are interested in. If it's the science forum, it might be hanging your laundry outside. Today, it's apple kuchen.
Absolutely.
And I could talk about that all day. But it should be noted you didn't bring any of that.
No, unfortunately, I did not.
Do you guys do a lot of the German desserts there? That's kind of a tricky proposition as well.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we often do strudel. We do our in-house apple strudel. Right now, we have a creme brulee. We basically have three desserts always right now. We have a creme brulee and a wood-fired apple crumble with a peanut butter creme anglaise. And
you didn't bring that?
No, I didn't bring that.
All right, you can get
out
right now.
It doesn't travel so well.
Oh, I don't know. Man, you got to try. Let's go to Mark in Springfield. Mark, you're on.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Hey, I'm a huge street food fan. I travel a lot eating different kinds of street food. And I had a quick question about when I went to Germany, I went to the Switzerland border, I think it was, or the Austrian border, but it was Donner's.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you know what the sauce is on top of those, on the Donners. I can never recreate it.
To the best of my knowledge, it's basically a tzatziki, which is, a basic white sauce. I always get it spicy as well.
But this wasn't a tzatziki. Both of them that I had, it was a totally different one. It had maybe a Hungarian paprika. It was like a red color.
Well, usually they dust it as they're making it. They dust it with a paprika.
Uh-huh.
And if you ask for it spicy, then there'll be a little bit of cayenne on there as well.
Hmm.
But if you can find someone that makes a donut here, please let me know.
Okay, that's my favorite thing, I'll tell you.
Me too.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Over to Joe in Great Barrington. Joe, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling with a little bit of a conflicted spirit here. I just wanted to congratulate the chef. We live in Great Barrington, and we visited you guys this fall, and you have a small restaurant, so I don't want everybody to find out how nice it was, but I guess I do. I just want to tell you, I know how hard it is to run a small restaurant like that. I did so when I was a young man, and I wanted to encourage you. I love the place. My wife is from Munich. I visit Munich every year. You're not a pure German restaurant, but you've got that European from-scratch approach.
Absolutely.
And thanks for doing it, and keep doing it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, that's a nice call. 1-800-348-2551. Do you have any good beer there?
We focus on local beers. We have six draft beers in rotation from within 100 miles. And we also have maybe five or six imported beers from, you know, Czechoslovakia, Germany, but usually more interesting kind of smoked Märzens and things like that.
Yeah, well, you know, if I had a complaint about the amazing craft brewers around the country and around the region, it's that everybody is so IPA-centric now.
Yeah.
There's so many IPAs. Give me some German-style beers. Give me a Bock beer. Give me a Doppelbock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's the Peekskill Lager is a really excellent kind of Munich-style Helles lager.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. It's really good.
Good. Let's go to Barbara in Monticello. Barbara, you're on.
Hi.
Oh, hang on. Hey, Barbara. Would you mind hanging on for a second? I didn't realize we have a break right here. I'll leave you on hold if you don't mind.
Oh, my God. I guess I'll have to.
Well, thank you for being so so nice. Let's take a break, Zach. 800-348-2551. My bad. I didn't look at the clock.
Support for WAMC comes from Troy Waterfront Farmers Market, featuring local, producer-only foods and products every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. inside the Troy Atrium, parking in the Uncle Sam Garage, troymarket.org. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts, blueherondining.com/catering. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preservenys.org. And Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly local produce year-round, pickups at workplaces or convenient community locations, field-goods.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Don't forget the fun drive Monday morning, 6 a.m. with Alan Shartok and yours truly in the chairs, and hope to hear from you. If you want to feed the lockbox now, you go right ahead. You do that. WAMC.org. All right. Barbara in Monticello graciously said she would wait. And Barbara, now it's your turn.
Okay. I have some suggestions, if I can talk. I have some suggestions for people who are looking for recipes, like the guy that was talking about the apple tart, and this really applies mostly to baked goods. If you Google or if you search try a description of the item and not necessarily the name, but also there's a lot of Jewish cooking and Jewish heritage cooking sites that because people were you know, from all over, they have a lot of European foods and cooking, and there's a really large push to try to catalog, or archive, you know, recipes that are lost, because a lot of people lost families in the Holocaust.
Yeah.
So they really look to try to bring as much information. So that might be a source.
I think that's a great idea. And it's great to archive recipes in general, because so many things that my grandmother made, I can't begin to find them.
Well, what's also important is if you think about your children and your grandchildren, a very easy way is to videotape it. I bake, I don't measure anything, it makes my friends crazy. But if you could, you know, if you have an older family member, if you have people telling stories, you know, you could get a lot of information there. One of the apple cakes, like Apfelkugel, like, you know, which is an apple cake, is it's apples made into a not-so-sweet yeast bread or yeast dough. And so there's a lot of sources, a lot of crossovers, and you can usually find it ultimately by just making a lot of different things and tasting them.
So.
Thanks, Barbara. Appreciate the call.
Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for sticking around. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Andrew Chase is our guest. He is the chef and proprietor at the Flammarie in Kinderhook, New York. And let's go to Gabriella in Napanook. Gabriella, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have another suggestion for the Apfelkuchen or apple cake.
Okay.
My mom used to make it, and it was like a sweet yeast dough, which would be rolled out on a sheet. Then she would cook a vanilla pudding from scratch, to put it out really thin, put the sliced apples on top, sometimes with raisins, and then have sour cream on top.
Sounds
thin
delicious.
Thin layer of sour cream. Let this rise nicely and then bake it.
Nice.
That sounds great. Where are you now?
In Napanock, New York.
Oh, well, you can't make it to the studio in time, but that sounded great. Thanks, Gabriella.
It's very delicious and very moist.
Nice.
That's what was so good about it.
Good job. Thanks for the call. By the way, getting back to Barbara's call prior, she said she never uses any measuring, and she just does it by feel and by sight. How about you?
Yeah, never.
You never measure?
I mean, if I'm baking, I measure, but it's always by weight. It's never volume measurements. But in general, it's cooking by feel and taste.
Are chefs in general frightened of baking? I get that feeling from some.
I mean, some definitely are. It's just not as much of a comfort zone because you're not able to cook by feeling as much. It's much more precise and exact. And you can't reseason something halfway through baking. It's already set in
the
pan. And
we had that exact conversation last week. Okay, let's go to Bobby in South Glens Falls. Bobby.
Yep, how are you?
Good, you're on.
Yeah, my grandmother was from Hungary, and as kids, she used to make a what we called kinnel soup, and they were like dough dumplings, but they weren't round, and she called them nuklis. But it was based on caraway seeds. And apparently, and I don't find that on menus in many, many restaurants. All the soups are, this is sort of a dark soup, meaning it's mushroomy, but it was strictly caraway seeds and milk and stirred with butter until it, but so for kids to, we used to fight over how many nuklis each one of us had in our bowl, and I just don't see it out in restaurants very often. Your thoughts are welcome.
I mean, I think it's kind of hard to communicate. I'm a big fan of dumpling soups as well, which I think that's basically what you're describing. But it's a little bit hard to sell. I think guests in this country, there's a bit of a misinterpretation of what a dumpling is. I think there's a lot of people kind of think dim sum or they think Chinese. And so when you're mixing that with spices like caraway, it can be it can throw people off a little bit. But It's I'm a big fan of dumplings in a soup, and it's filling, it's hearty, and it's excellent.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate the call. And over to Marta in Oneonta. Hi, Marta.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Thanks. I'm calling because I heard you mention that you make your own bratwurst. And I used to live in California near a fabulous German butcher, and he made a whole range, including bratwurst. But he also made chicken bratwurst, which was spectacular and really good when I had all those annoying we don't eat pork people over for a barbecue. And I'm wondering if either you make chicken bratwurst by any chance, or if you know of a German butcher in our area, who not necessarily Oneonta, I travel, that makes it, that you would recommend, or a German butcher in general that you would recommend. Shop deli.
Well, we have made chicken bratwurst in the past. One of the challenges that you have, of course, is not using pork casings. So if you're trying to eliminate the pork, then it's going to have to be a patty or a synthetic casing.
If it came down to that, I just wouldn't mention that.
you don't have to eat the casing.
Exactly. Do it out.
We do have it from time to time, but usually we focus more on pork sausages.
Sure. Who wouldn't?
Yeah,
but is it tasty?
It is very tasty. Yeah, very tasty. It has a different texture, though.
Yeah, but so do you know of any good German butchers here in our New York area? You make everything yourself, and you...
Exactly. I mean, we're usually buying in, big primal cuts or half pigs and things like that and doing that in-house, so I don't have too much experience working with other butchers, but I know Red Apple Butchery does some really great things over in Pittsfield. And also Fleischer's in Kingston.
Right, Fleischer's is great.
Do you
it was a great
smoke
one.
Any meat on...
Go ahead, Marta.
Do you smoke any meat at your place?
We don't have a smoker, but we do pan smoking in small batches
nice.
From time to time of certain things like sausages or fish.
This is such good weather for all that kind of food.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you.
There was a great,
glad to hear about you.
There was a great German butcher in Albany. He might still be there. I cannot remember the name for the life of me. He's not too far from the station. My grandmother used to make me drive her there, and I think he's still there. I can't remember the name. Maybe somebody will remember it.
Somebody somewhere in Albany near your station.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can track from that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Marta. We appreciate the call. Our guest today is Andrew Chase of the Flammarie in Kinderhook, New York. And a fun afternoon we've had. Mendy in Lac-Sheldrake. You're on.
Yeah, Lac-Sheldrake.
Yeah, you're on.
Mendy. I used to be the chef at Grossinger's.
Oh, boy.
Hello.
Hello. Is this one of your famous crank calls, Mendy?
Not at all. Not at all.
I see.
Listen, I cook for 600 people at a time. One time I made dumplings, they all got parasites. They wound up in the toilets, everybody.
Okay. Hey, way to go there, buddy. Thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure. Nancy in Livingston Manor. Nancy, you're on.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Welcome.
I had to learn how to make my great-grandmother Schneider's apple pie. She always did it by feel. And it was an open pie, a single pie crust, and it had like a pudding on the bottom and fruit on the top. And it was, it had milk or cream in it. And you had to use juicy fruits like peaches or raspberries. It didn't work with apples. But it took a lot of trying, and finally, if you got too much flour and sugar, you had hard candy. and if you didn't get enough, it was very runny. But after many tryings, I got it right for my father's birthday, and it was for an 8-inch pie. It was half a cup of flour, half a cup of sugar mixed together, put in the bottom of the pie crust. The fruit got sliced on top of that. And then you poured, if she used cream, I cut that back with half and half, poured that over top, dotted it with butter, and sprinkled it with nutmeg and put it in the oven until a nice cut came out clean.
Mm.
And it's a pie that the whole family looks forward to in the summertime.
Sounds great.
I love it, Nancy. Thank you for calling.
I don't know. I mean, that's an old recipe. I don't know if... I've never seen it anyplace else.
Well, I tell you what, it sounds good, and maybe you come down. Well, maybe we'll do a listeners-only Food Friday, and we'll get some of the best recipes, and we'll have you come down, and we'll all try. Hey, Nancy, thanks a lot.
You're very welcome.
Bye now. Okay, over to line three, and Nita in Hudson. Nita.
The name of the German butchers and smokehouse you're thinking of is Ralph.
That's
on,
it.
That's right. Lexington.
Yeah, are they still around?
Yes, they are. I was supposed to go up at Christmas time to get my advent calendars, but I never got up there.
Oh,
they're still around.
Oh, God, they've been there forever.
I think the only day they're not open is Mondays.
Mm. Ralph's, so. Of course. That's the place. Yes, I used to have to go there at least once every 2 weeks, take my grandmother, drive my grandmother over there. Hey, Nita, thanks for the call.
So I have a quick question for the chef.
Sure.
My great-grandmother was from Switzerland. But she used to make brujol.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And I'm wondering if there's maybe a little Italian in my family that nobody knows about.
Absolutely.
Because that's a really Italian dish.
Yeah, I mean, it's very close to northern Italy, and even parts of Switzerland speak Italian.
Yeah.
So, there's for sure a little bit of overlap there.
How'd she make it?
She took a veal, pounded it really thin, stuffed it with a bread stuffing like you put in turkey.
Yeah.
With onion and celery and garlic and caraway seeds, rolled them up, wrapped them in bacon, cooked them in the pan, and then put them in the oven with, like, my mom used to do with a tomato sauce.
Nice.
You can't lose. By the way,
I don't have the recipe. It was never written down, and my mom hasn't made it since the 80s. But I'd like to kind of re-engineer it and start making it again.
That would be a great idea. The bacon, I've not heard that one, the wrapping in bacon.
Yeah, me either.
My favorite, I love brajol. I mean, you had me at brajol. And my favorite is at Sam's Italian American in Albany. And I haven't been there in a couple of years. But that is a brajol to die for. Hey, Nita, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
Bye. Over to Alan in Beckett, Mass. Alan, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling. It's a pleasure listening to you guys. I'm calling. I love schnitzel. And my wife, however, can't eat any grains. So I was looking at something where, in terms of whether it's veal or chicken for a breading. We've tried coconut flour. I don't know if you have any other ideas or just in the preparation of schnitzel, traditionally, we usually dip it in egg first.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, have you had any experience in terms of coconut flour or schnitzel with non-grain type of coatings?
Good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. I would probably go with rice flour, at least for the first part. So basically do the flour first, then the egg wash, and then it would be the breadcrumbs would be the question. And your best bet would be to buy some gluten-free bread, dry it out, grind it up, and use that as your breadcrumbs, and do a standard breading procedure with your rice flour, your egg wash, and your gluten-free breadcrumbs.
Thank you. Also, I have a quick question. I was in Germany 35 years ago. I had the best soup I ever had. It was a chicken soup, but it had a whole poached egg in it.
Nice.
Cool.
And, I don't know the name of it, but I was traveling with friends, and it was delicious. Is there a name for that, or...?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think poached eggs on everything is a good idea.
Oh, yeah. And get a cholesterol check right after you're done. Hey, thanks, Alan.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good weekend. Over to Evan in Bern. Evan, you're on with Chef Andrew Chase.
Hey, how we doing?
Good.
I guess I had a quick comment and then a question. First of all, I can't tout the benefits of sour cream any more than you guys already did. It makes a wonderful pound cake and just about everything else. And to the same respect, even mayonnaise and yogurt. Mm-hmm. I know the Turks love their yogurts and a lot of their dishes. But my grandmother had a friend who had mentioned back in the day to get the same benefits that you would get from sour cream that they used to use either sour milk or just curdled milk. Have you ever heard anything like that?
No, I haven't. Quark is often used too, as well as creme fraiche, depending on where you are in the region, and are both great substitutions for anything from baking to even purees to give it a little bit of velvety texture and a little bit of that acidity too.
Well, interesting.
Huh. All right.
Well, thank you much. And roulade's delicious and easy to make, and y'all should try it.
Thanks, Evan. We appreciate the call. Had a few emails here from listeners about the German butchers. And one, my old friend Aaron from 100 years ago says, are you thinking of Kagan's? He was a kosher butcher. That's not the one I was thinking of, but a good choice as well. And somebody else said, Smokehouse of the Catskills in Veteran, New York, near Saugerties. Excellent German meats. And a few other people mentioned Rolf's. They got that answer. And let's see. Somebody else here says, hi, great show. Fishkill Provisions in East Fishkill and Hopewell make their own Weisswurst, Bratwurst, and Bologna. That's good. So thank you for that. You see the things you learn on this program?
It's great.
You having fun?
Absolutely.
You staying awake?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, yeah, there's some question there for a while. Let's go to Denise, who's on the road. Denise, go ahead.
Hi. Three quickies.
Sure.
The first one for you, the host. The thing that your grandmother made that was round and had bacon in it?
Yeah.
They're known in Bavaria as close or Klößchen, depending upon the size. The Klößchen are small. And it's very similar to the dumplings that you've been discussing, but they can also be baked, and it comes out like a fritter. So that's possibly what you were remembering. The second thing was what someone was talking about, and I came in late, so forgive me if I'm redundant. The Kuchen, the Apfelkuchen that was discussed, there is one called an Apfelsahnkuchen, and Sahn is cream, and they make it Bavarian cream that goes inside this Mürbeteig, which is a yeast dough, and then they do a fancy kind of crisscross over the top with the fruit inside just below those crisscrosses. And it's very delicious. It can be found very readily online.
All right.
That's the question for the chef.
All right, but we only got about 20 seconds here, Denise, so go ahead.
Do you ever serve raclette, traditional raclette, in your restaurant?
We use raclette a lot as a gratinating cheese for our spätzle and for raviolis and things like that. But we don't do the traditional, shaving of the raclette at the table.
Denise, thanks a lot for the call. Well, that's about it. What do you think? Did you have fun?
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you come
time.
Back?
Yeah, absolutely.
And, it's funny. truth be told, you're not the biggest dessert person in the world, but we took a lot of calls about desserts today.
That's true.
That's amazing. Well, the food is great. And you guys have a website?
Yes, we do.
What's the website?
Theflammarie.com.
Well, thank you so much to Chef Andrew Chase for being here today. Thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York, cafecapriccio.com. And Union College Concert Series, presenting the Mudaliani String Quartet. The French Ensemble offers a program featuring Dvorak's American Quartet. Sunday, February 21st, 3 p.m., unioncollegeconcerts.org. Let's see if I got the phonetics on that right. Modigliani. Yeah, that's close enough. All right, Zach, who does a lot of the underwriting. All right with you? All right with you. Zach was our engineer today. Your calls are answered by Barb King, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Thanks again for calling. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Chef Andrew Chase of the Flammarie. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. Remember, Monday morning at 6 a.m., it's the fun drive. Alan will be there. I'll be there. You'll be there. Have a great weekend.